Oh my God. Did that make some of you cringe? Growing up, I learned that the third commandment meant don't say, oh my God, or, you know, other more colorful phrases using God's name. It meant don't curse, don't use God's name as an expletive. And listen, that is not bad advice. But I think when we understand this commandment in only that way, we've made it much smaller than it actually is. I think it means what happens when we put God's name on something. So before we dive into the text for today, let's review why we are in the middle of a sermon series on the Ten Commandments. We are doing this series because of Senate Bill 10, passed by the Texas legislature in 2025. This law requires every public elementary and secondary school classroom in Texas to display a specified version of the Ten Commandments in a conspicuous place. It even specifies the exact text that must appear on the poster. So the Ten Commandments are not just something we are studying as an ancient biblical text. They've become part of our present-day conversation about faith and government and education and what we believe belongs in our public life. So 2 weeks ago, Reverend Karen introduced us to the entire story of the Ten Commandments. And so far, we've explored two of them. You've heard about, "You shall have no other gods before me," and "You shall not make graven images." So today we come to the third commandment. The language that Senate Bill 10 uses is, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." But you will see on the screen, maybe, that I have chosen to use the New International Version today, the NIV translation, which says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." And I chose this translation because I think it describes the commandment in a way that is easier for our modern ears to understand. Because when I hear, "take the Lord's name in vain," I immediately think about swearing, like I said at the beginning. But when I hear, "do not misuse the name of the Lord your God," I imagine something much bigger. I imagine all the ways we might attach God's name to something that does not actually represent God. Perhaps, for example, someone claims to have faith in God or claims to be a follower of Jesus, but then cuts funding for Medicare or Medicaid. Or someone uses their faith to justify cruelty, oppression, or greed. And we could ask, if someone votes to put the Ten Commandments in every classroom, but doesn't support free lunch programs for hungry children, are they not misusing the name of God? If someone puts a name on a policy, God's name on a policy, but the policy does not reflect God's love, God's justice, or God's concern for the vulnerable, what exactly are we saying about God? I think the third commandment gives us good reason to ask that question. But before we get too comfortable pointing at politicians, this commandment also turns the mirror toward each one of us. We are very good at recognizing when other people misuse God's name. We see it when nationalism gets wrapped in Christian language, or when someone says, "God told me," as a way of ending an argument. We can recognize the misuse of God's name when someone claims to speak for God while treating another human being as less than fully beloved. But there are myriad ways, big and small, that each one of us is tempted to misuse God's name. So let's look at the word name. In Scripture, a name is more than a label. Proverbs says, "A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold." Because when you say someone's name, something comes to mind, right? Their name conjures their very identity, their character, their reputation, and their story. If I say your name, I am not merely referring to a collection of letters, I'm referring to you. If I put your name on something, I am saying something about you. If I put your name on a book, I am saying you wrote it. If I put your name on a product, I am saying you stand behind it. If I put your name on an endorsement, I am saying you support it. And if I attach your name to something you didn't say, didn't do, or don't believe in, I've misrepresented you. I've misused your name. And so when God says, "Do not misuse my name," perhaps God is saying, "Don't attach my name to something that doesn't represent who I am. Don't use my name to justify something that contradicts my character. Don't make God a mascot for your political party, your nation, your ideology, your anger, your greed, or your need to be right." In the scriptural language that many of us are familiar with, the version hanging in the classrooms around the state, it says, "Do not take the Lord's name in vain." So let's look at these words. First, take. The Hebrew word translated take can also mean to lift, to hold up, or to carry. And the word translated vain has to do with emptiness, worthlessness, or falsehood. So I wonder if instead of asking, "Did you say God's name inappropriately?" we should ask, "When you carry God's name, do you carry it truthfully?" And for me, that can make this commandment much more uncomfortable because it means I don't only carry God's name in my mouth when I say the word God. I carry God's name in my life. When I walk into a room, when I interact with a stranger, I carry God's name when I'm driving. They can see our uprising stickers, y'all. As someone claiming Christianity, I carry God's name all the time. When I'm frustrated, when someone annoys me, when I disagree with someone. I also carry God's name when I'm talking about someone who isn't in the room. And I carry God's name when I have the opportunity to be generous, to forgive, to stand up for someone who is being treated unfairly. So what do people learn about God from the way I live? What do they learn about God from the way I react when someone hurts my feelings? Do I hold a grudge? What do they learn about God when I make a mistake in my words or my actions? Do I apologize? What do I want people to learn about God from me? Generosity, compassion, peace, patience. Think about it. What God qualities do you hope to display in the way that you live? Because here's the thing, we are all carrying God's name. Throughout Scripture, starting really with Abraham and eventually with Israel, God's chosen and beloved people who received these Ten Commandments. Throughout Scripture, God's people have been called to carry God's name into the world. That is an enormous responsibility and privilege. I've been reading a book by Meredith Miller called Wonder, 52 Conversations to Help Kids Fall in Love with Scripture. It's broken up into 6 sections, and each one has between 5 and 10 stories from various parts of the Bible that you are to read and wonder about with your kids. The first section she calls the Pentateuch Pack. The Pentateuch, if you are unfamiliar with that word, is the first 5 books of the Hebrew Bible. The Jewish people call it the Torah. And this is the part of the Bible where we find the Ten Commandments. In the introduction to the Pentateuch Peck, Miller lays out a set of themes. She says, as you go through these stories, you'll notice God's purposes in four major recurring themes, and then she lays them out. Theme number one, God dreams of a world that works in ways that match who God is. Theme number two, God partners with humans to make the dream come true, because God is both creative and a collaborator by character. Theme number three, humans have the God-given power to really mess things up, and they do repeatedly. And theme number four, the way to life is through trusting God, not idols. So God desires a world marked by love and justice and mercy, truth, generosity, and peace. And God chooses to partner with human beings in bringing that dream into reality, which is both beautiful and frankly a little terrifying because we mess up the dream. We misuse the name. We say one thing and do another. We proclaim love and practice contempt. We talk about justice and then look the other way when justice costs us something. We say that every person is made in God's image and then decide that some people are more deserving of dignity than others. As Christians, we say we follow Jesus and then forget that Jesus told us to love our enemies. We fail. But the good news is, God never gives up on us, even when it seems that we have given up on God. This week, I asked my daughter, Naomi, what she thought it meant to misuse God's name. She said, somewhat exasperatedly, in the way that 13-year-olds are so good at, don't use God's name for something bad. And I thought, well, I guess I could have saved myself several hours of sermon preparation because I think she's right. No, don't use God's name for something bad. Don't use it to bless cruelty or sanctify greed or justify hatred. Don't use God's name to make ourselves superior to other people or to win an argument. Don't make people doubt God because of the way you carry God's name. Jesus helps us understand the commandments. When asked which commandment was the greatest, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love neighbor. It really is that simple. And yet we know that it can be so hard. Because if we are going to carry God's name faithfully, then our lives have to look something like the God whose name we carry. And that means love, but not sentimental love, not love as a feeling. Rather, it means the kind of love that changes how we behave. It's the kind of love that feeds hungry people, that welcomes strangers, and offers dignity to everyone, regardless of their own beliefs or their social or economic status. It's the kind of love that refuses to reduce another human being into a political position, a religion, a race, a nationality, a gender, an immigration status, or even a mistake. The kind of love that sees the image of God in another person, even when we don't particularly like them. That's what it means to carry God's name. Jesus also said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We are baptized into the name. We are claimed by it and belong to it. And we spend the rest of our lives learning how to live as people who carry it. And we are going to fail at it. All of us, I know I will. I have carried God's name badly. There have been times when my words have not matched my faith. My actions have not matched my values. Lord knows there are times when we have been impatient instead of compassionate or self-righteous instead of humble. We have stayed silent when we should have spoken, or we have been loud when we should have listened. We've all been there. And how about the second part to this third commandment? Interestingly, it's not included in the text required to be posted in the classrooms. The second part of the commandment says, "For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." That's a difficult sentence. It may sound as if God is standing over us, waiting to punish us for every mistake, but I want us to consider it differently. I think it's a reminder that what we do matters. Our lives matter. The way we treat people matters, and the things we attach to God's name matter, because people are watching. And what they see in us may shape what they think God is like. That's a profound responsibility. But I also believe there is grace here. God knows exactly who God has chosen to carry the name. God knows we are imperfect and will mess it up. And God still loves us and invites us to try again. That is the story of Scripture. When we lose our way, God calls us home. When we fall down, God helps us get back up again and again and again. So perhaps the commandments aren't primarily a list of rules designed to keep us out of trouble. They are an invitation into God's dream for the world, where people don't murder or steal from one another, where people tell the truth and honor one another, a world where people rest and aren't consumed by greed and envy. A world where God's name is not used to manipulate, dominate, or oppress. It's a world where people love God and love their neighbors. And God has chosen us as partners in making that world possible. Which brings us back to Texas. Imagine a classroom with a Ten Commandments poster on the wall with words large enough to read conspicuously displayed. Is putting the commandments on the wall the same thing as keeping the commandments? Because a poster can lay out the words, but a poster can't love or forgive or practice justice or protect the vulnerable. So if we're going to put God's name on a wall, then perhaps we should also ask what it means to put God's name on our lives. A poster cannot carry God's name, but we can. The third commandment isn't just asking us to watch our mouths. It's asking us to watch our lives as we carry God's name into the world. God is saying to us, carry my name carefully and truthfully. Don't attach my name to things that contradict who I am. Don't use my name to justify what is contrary to love. When you carry my name, let the world see something of me. And every day, in 1,000 ordinary choices, we get the opportunity to decide what kind of God the world will see in us. So may we carry God's name with humility and courage and compassion. May we carry it toward the people the world has pushed aside. And when we fail, may we remember, God is not finished with us. Get back up and try again. Love God. Love your neighbor, and faithfully carry God's name. Amen.